Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and I have the pleasure of having on air with us Mr. Clay Norris, who hopefully he's got a little bit of time to spend with us because he's going to be our co-host today. And Clay is an expert on fishing line. He's the marketing manager for Berkley Line. And Berkley Line, gosh, Clay, how many different types of line? You probably couldn't even count them. But give us an idea of what different types of line that Berkley's involved in.
Well, we, you know, in the modern era of lines, I guess it would started about, let's say, 50, 60 years ago when nylon monofilament kicked in. We've got a wide variety of nylon monofilaments that we make, fluorocarbon monofilaments, and then this group of lines that we call super lines. Some people call them braids, but the super lines are made out of the high-tech materials, gel-spun polyethylene. And we've got thousands of different what we call SKUs when you actually, you know, this particular color at this particular size spool and so on and so forth. But we've got dozens of series of line here at Berkley.
Well, I'm glad that you're on, because the subject of lines, especially if you, you know, kind of follow the advertisements and the different stories, everybody, of course, has their own slant on what's the best and how to use it and when to use it. But hopefully by the time we get through with the program, we'll, let's just say, untangle some of the mysteries.
Yes, untangle the mystery. That's a good way to put it.
As to, because if we go back, you know, when things were more simple. And of course, there was a time when, you know, I don't know what Zane Grey and those people used, but we mentioned the Tuna Club out of Catalina. And in order to fish in their tournament, you have to use linen thread.
Yes.
And that's kind of amazing how you could, you know, just it would be strong enough, but apparently it works. And then, of course, you said that, Dacron, you know, used to be fairly popular. I don't know. Is it still around now? Do people still use it?
Yes, there are still some manufacturers that sell Dacron line, braided line. It's a more inexpensive type of braided line. It doesn't have the strength per diameter that Dyneema and Spectra do, which are the gel-spun polyethylenes, but it's an affordable line, and it's strong compared to a lot of other ones.
Well, and let's move into when did nylon come around, in the late 50s, 60s?
It was in the 1950s. I mean, I've been kind of going back in our Berkley Museum and looking, and Burke Bedell had some nylon lines, you know, maybe in as early as the very early 1950s. He got into the business, and the reason we did here in Berkley and Spirit Lake is he originally used nylon to coat steel leaders, one of our oldest products, probably the oldest, you know, continuous product for us are our Berkley Steelon leaders. And years ago, Berkley had a logo that was a heart, and it was the heart logo for many years with Berkley and script in it, and that was because they were leaders with a heart of steel. They were, that they had the clear nylon on the outside. So Burke started working with nylon. It was the DuPont company in over on the East Coast in Delaware, I believe, that invented nylon, and I think around the time of World War II, and maybe before that, because I know nylon was in short supply from what I understand.
Well, they made stockings out of it, didn't they?
They made parachute cords and stuff, which was more important. And I believe they made people like not buy stockings during that period to save on nylon.
Interesting.
So post-war, it began to be used for a number of different things. And so DuPont was developing nylon monofilament, and Berkley did about the same time. We don't have enough time for me to get into the whole story back and forth days.
Let's kind of continue on, Berdan. Now, nylon, from years ago, somebody told me that nylon is nylon. And every different company, they'd try and claim it was something different. They'd do this. So they do polymers. They put different colors in it, you know. But my understanding basically was that nylon was nylon. So was that true? And how has that changed?
Well, what's changed is the advent, and this again is maybe above. I'm going to try to simplify what little I understand about it because it gets into polymer science. But you have this basic material, which is nylon. And there are different types of nylon, grades of nylon as it's evolved. And the lines we have today are called copolymers. And you might have what was the original nylon, maybe a component or a base in it. But then there are other things that are, you know, different formulations of the nylon that are made, you know, either to be more abrasion resistant, to absorb water more or less, mm-hmm. to provide tensile strength.
Yeah, less memory. Mm-hmm.
Reduce memory. You know, but there are usually gives and takes. If you reduce memory, in a lot of cases, you reduce abrasion resistance.
Mm, softer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you increase your abrasion resistance and make the line harder, then sometimes it becomes, in most times, it becomes, you know, more coily and stiffer. So we blend these different nylon polymers. There's just all kinds of them, and they're trade secrets and so forth, but there's mm-hmm. just all kinds of numbers and formula pieces that come together. So first of all, you've got formula differences. Second of all, you've got processing differences. Is, you know, how much do you heat them? How little do you heat them? What diameter of a extrusion die do you start with? Then how do you draw the line? That you pull on the line through a process to once it's extruded to, you know, you can draw some of these polymers more and increase the tensile strength. But again, sometimes if you overdraw it, then it gets too stiff, and it's all a balancing act.
Wow.
And depending upon what end property we want in a nylon line, we, you know, take all of these inputs, you know, the polymer chemists do and our engineers, and then we come out with the line. Today, you've got, I mean, there's so many of them, and it is rather complicated, but to try to simplify it, there are about three basic categories that I would say that nylon monofilament is in today. You go for manageability as your most important property. Strength is a given. I mean, we need to make sure that our lines are strong, that they're as strong as we say on the box or the package that they're going to be. But then, you know, how do we enhance that? So there's the highly manageable smooth casting, low memory lines. Our Trilene XL is kind of the most famous example of that. These are very versatile lines, can be used in a lot of applications. And then you've got an extra tough variety, so you go more for abrasion resistance. So you think of lines like our Berkley Trilene XT. And then shock resistance sometimes is more important. And, you know, if you put some extra stretch in a line, that's really good for a lot of these big water, saltwater situations where you have, you know, the fish hit so hard and run so hard. Mm-hmm. So lines like Trilene Big Game fall in that category.
Wow.
And that's just okay.
Well, we're talking to the right guy, that's for sure. And we've only got less than a minute for this segment. But just a real quick question, if you can give a real quick answer, I don't know. The difference between inexpensive line and more expensive line, is there a difference? Is there a reason?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these formulas that I'm talking about, that other compounds, the processing, all that stuff, it's added cost, it's added time. And so these lines that have special properties, all the lines I mentioned are, you know, a degree of premium line. There are lines made with just the old basic nylon,
mm-hmm.
Very simply extruded, very inexpensively extruded. And while they will serve a function, they don't have these extra performance characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have to take a break now. And one of the questions when we come back is I want to talk about the strength when you're talking about line test and diameters. But
yep.
We're going to take a quick break, and we would like you to stay tuned to Fish Talk Radio and go to our website, fishtalkradio.com. And we'll be back with you momentarily. Some exciting stuff. Thank you, Clay. We'll be right back with you.
Oh, yeah. It's time for the 38th Annual Fred Hall Show, the ultimate outdoor experience, March 26th to the 29th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. San Diego's biggest fishing show, biggest boat show, biggest travel show, biggest outdoor recreation event of the year. It's San Diego's number one show. Don't miss the Mammoth Lakes Kids Fish Free Trout Pond, the Ram Ultimate Air Dogs, the Costa Sporting Chef Cafe, the San Diego County Ford Dealers Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show, the Savage Gear Bass Tank, the Accurate Reel Saltwater Tank, air gun ranges, archery, casting, and dozens of family fun activities. Over 200 high-quality seminars presented by Progressive Insurance, Cousins Tackle, Hobie Kayaks, and the World Fishing Network. Enter to win a custom Sea of Cortez fishing trip to Rancho Leonero, a pair of Accurate fishing reels, or a Hobie Pro Angler Kayak. Kids free, kids fish free, military free. The 38th Annual Fred Hall Show, March 26th to the 29th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Details at fredhall.com.
It's a whale of a show.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Sandos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Sandos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
There's a boat race down the river. There's a slow boat on my mind.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and now we have two experts in studio with us. We still have Clay Norris, marketing manager for Berkley, and we also have the editor, publisher, writer, professional bass angler for BassAnglerMag.com, Mark Lassane. Mark, thanks for joining us. I know that you're kind of busy. It sounds like you might be out on a boat someplace in a river, so we appreciate you coming in. But Mark, what we started talking about with Clay is kind of the earlier history of lines, and then when nylon came about, and then the progression of that. So let's kind of continue that type of conversation, and then we hope that you'll join in and mention some of the lines that you favor for bass fishing. And
sure.
Clay, we hadn't talked about fluorocarbon yet, and I don't know if that has anything to do with bass fishing, but fluorocarbon, and then I guess the I'm not sure, you know, it's a lot of different names, the Kevlar, the super braid, micro braid, or whatever the correct terminology is. So let's just talk about fluorocarbon just for a second, because you'd mentioned about abrasion resistance too.
Yeah, I'd like to get Mark's take on it, because we're observing that in the, particularly starting with the professional level bass anglers, that fluorocarbon is becoming an increasingly important tool for them to fish with. And I think from a technical standpoint, it started with, you know, the kind of the sizzle was the invisibility of it, because it bends light very close to the way water does. But I think what the bass anglers are appreciating about it is its density, is the fact that it sinks, and they get a more straight line approach to their, from the tip of their rod to the lure. And it's actually also very abrasion resistant material. Mark, what are you hearing out there?
Yeah, you know, that's what I actually use fluorocarbon for. Almost any lure that goes underwater that I want to use, you know, that I used to use monofilament with, now I'm using fluorocarbon. So, you know, like you're talking about, some of the benefits, it's abrasion resistant. So if you're throwing a crankbait in and around the rocks, it really helps. Also has a lower stretch factor than monofilament. So it gives you a little better hook set. And that lower stretch factor also gives you a little better sensitivity. So if you're throwing a, you know, if you're throwing a worm or a jig, you get a little better feel. You can kind of tell what's biting a little bit better than you could with the older monos.
Yep. And
so those are,
oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, so those are some of the benefits. And then you also have, you know, the density of the line is almost the same density as the water. So, you know, for most of us bass fishermen, confidence is such a big thing, and when you have a line that it actually is almost invisible underwater, it gives you that little extra bit of confidence and helps you fish just a little bit better.
Yep, and I think confidence is a lot of what is happening with fluorocarbon. It's mm-hmm. it's real interesting that stretch factor you were talking about is that fluorocarbon stretches differently. It actually, before it breaks at what we call ultimate elongation, it has real similar stretch percentage, if you will, to nylon, but it's harder to get it to stretch in the beginning. So at the normal pull rates and things that you have just fishing, you're absolutely right. It feels much more sensitive and it sets the hook better.
Mark, do you spool your reel with fluoro or is it a leader?
You know, different applications, you know, get spooled different ways. So if I'm throwing like a spy bait, some guys know what that is. I throw it on a spinning rod and I'll spool it up with 6-pound fluorocarbon and I do my whole spool with fluorocarbon. You know, and other things like drop shot, and shaky heads and things like that, I will spool up with a braided line and then just use a fluorocarbon leader.
Yep, because when you get to the braided lines, okay, the material that braids are made out of, the technical term is gel spun polyethylene. There's a couple different brands of it that are out there in the marketplace. There's Spectra. We at Berkeley use Dyneema, but it's a similar chemical. But this this fiber is 3 to 4 times stronger than monofilament, either nylon or fluorocarbon, mm-hmm. by diameter. And it has virtually no stretch. So you get this very high level of sensitivity, and actually you use your fluorocarbon leader, you know, don't you, more as a shock leader, so that you have a little bit of stretch and shock at the end.
Right, yeah, a couple reasons to use it as a leader is one, got one for the shock, and another so the fish don't see it, and, you know, the final one is confidence also.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another thing to mention is using braid on a spinning rod is braid doesn't have the memory like fluorocarbon or even a copolymer line. So you don't get your line all, when you open up the spool on your spinning rod, it doesn't all fly off your reel. The braid, braid will
true.
Stay
not
on there a lot
anyway.
Longer.
Yeah.
So, a lot longer between spool ups.
Hmm. You also get greater casting distance in most cases with a super line, the braided lines, because of that thin diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Thinner
exactly.
diameter you have, you know, the greater distance
right.
you can cast your
right.
line.
Less water resistance, too, if you're trolling or such. But now, if we could, just a minute, talking about and what is the correct terminology? Originally, it came from Kevlar, didn't it?
Well, there was a variety. I don't know if it originally did. That was a super fiber mm-hmm. that was used and experimented with. Mm-hmm. The problem with Kevlar is it breaks down in the sunlight pretty
okay.
fast.
Okay.
The gel, the PE, a lot of people mm-hmm. call them PE lines, just short for polyethylene. But the gel spun polyethylene lines are UV does not, UV and sunlight does not affect them, and they don't break down.
I remember trying, you know, the early micro braids, and they were not round. They were kind of like oval shape. And when you reel it in, it would stack up on your reel, and then it would cut into itself. And it was a real problem, especially if you got a big fish on. It would just kind of dig in, and you'd lose the fish. But the ones that they're using now, you know, they're round, and they have the characteristics more that's like a line that you're looking for.
That's true. that we make them more, without getting too technical, there's more little fiber bundles that we use now. Many of the braids now are what we call an eight-carrier braid. That just means there's eight bundles of fiber. And the more that you can do that, the rounder we can make the line. Another thing that happened a lot, especially early on, was that because they're 3 to 4 times stronger than nylon and so much thinner, people were buying, let's say you were used to using 14-pound mono. That's what mm-hmm. you like to use.
Right.
All right. You would go buy a 15-pound braid or something like that. Well, the 15-pound braid has the diameter of like a 4-pound mono.
Right.
So part of that digging in was you weren't using the right diameter. Bass fishermen are using 50, 65, sometimes 80-pound braids mm-hmm. because they have the diameters that are closer to a 10, 14, mm-hmm. 20-pound mono.
Well, just as a quick aside from that, when you're talking about big game fishing and you're using, say, 120-pound test line, you could only carry 300 or 400 yards on a big reel. And then if you run out, you know, then you got to tie another reel to it, throw it in the water, or go chase a fish. But with the diameters now, you know, instead of carrying 300 or 400, they can carry 1,000 yards of line if they want to.
Yes, yes, much more line capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of cool things about using braid is that, you know, we go salmon fishing out here in the bay. I'm a bass guy, but, you know, I do bench out in the salt water. And, you know, it's nice that you can use, if you're using braid, you can use a lighter lead ball. So you
kind
of save a little money on that. You can get a little deeper. If you want to mm-hmm. throw a little deeper, you know, you can. We use braided line, you know, it's for the ones that we want to go deeper.
Less resistance to a smaller diameter.
Yep.
Right. And something some guys should think about when they are spooling up with braid is that at least, you know, the first 15 or 20 yards, you want to use monofilament on the spool, because if you use just straight braid, it could slip around.
Good
Very
tip.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you could tape down the line also on the arbor, but yeah, the mono backing is a good idea, and you it also save you a little bit of money there too, because the braids usually are sold in, you know, let's say 125 to 150 yard filler spools, and you can back it some with the mono so that you can fill your reel properly.
Right, right. Hmm. So I mean, you know, the advancements in line are just phenomenal. I have to say that, you know, the Berkeley 100% fluorocarbon is really a nice line. There's a bunch of lines, you know, fluorocarbon lines out there that are stiff, and that one, the Berkeley 100% fluorocarbon, really works good on your spool. It doesn't come flying off the spool like some of the other mm-hmm. fluorocarbons that are real stiff.
And also, if you wouldn't mind talking about, I asked you if there's a difference, if there is a real difference between the inexpensive nylon and the more expensive nylon. And we also want to know a little bit about test, you know, especially if you're, now that you don't really have to worry about it in bass fishing, but how real is it if it's a 20-pound test? Where does it really break?
Well, let me see if I can explain this simply. Nylons and nylon lines, okay, regular monofilaments weaken a little bit when they get wet, and then, you know, anglers don't always get 100% knot strength out of them. You can tie good knots to get 100%, but you don't all the time. So what we try to do is when we label, let's say, a Trilene XL at 10 pounds, that's going to break at least 10 pounds, maybe slightly above, wet with a knot. And that's kind of how we've designed our diameters and so forth to go from there.
Well, it looks like we're coming up into another break right now. And if you guys don't mind, if you get some time, we're going to bring Bart Hall in and talk a little bit about the Fred Hall Show that's coming up in Del Mar. And I know both you guys are very familiar with that, because you've probably been to at least a couple of them. But, you know, we would, you know, just a reminder that Mark has, it's Bass Angler Magazine, it's Bass Mag, isn't it? Just bassmag.com?
Bassmag.com. Real simple.
That's a really easy one. And then at Berkeley, of course, they're everywhere.
Yeah, if you go to berkeley-fishing.com, that's
Perfect.
The way to get us.
All right. Well, we're going to be right back. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll be right back with you. Thank you, guys. Very interesting stuff.
Fishing, Looking for that special family experience? Want to really get your money's worth? Then come to the Fred Hall Show March 26th to the 29th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. For 38 years, we've provided world-class deals and world-class fun for men, women, and children. And when it's time to go home, you'll want to do it all again. If you love fishing, boating, international travel, or camping, it's the ultimate outdoor experience, and the kids are free. The Fred Hall Show, March 26th to the 29th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Check us out at fredhall.com. And remember,
it's a whale of a show.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Gonna back this boat into the water. Find a way to win a couple dollars.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and scattered all around us, we have Clay Norris, the marketing manager for Berkeley Line. We also have Mark Lassane from Bass Angler Magazine. And now we've got Mr. Excitement that's going to tell us about probably the most exciting event in all of fishing that is going to be coming up in Del Mar just next week. So we have Bart Hall from the Fred Hall Show. Bart, thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks, John Clay and Mark. It's really good to be here. And, we finished up a great Long Beach show, probably one of the best ones in history, if not the best, and very exciting. We didn't know it was going to happen because we've never had a fishing season out here like we had this year in saltwater, where we just kept fishing all year long. Normally, there's this break, and people get excited. You get pent up, and we were kind of nervous about what that would mean for the show, but it turned out to be just fantastic. I think everyone had set records and just went off the charts. And we had a great time. And now we're looking forward to Del Mar, our show in Del Mar on March 26th or the 29th. And we've never sold as many booths in the history of that show as we sold this year. We have a huge boat lineup. We have lots of stuff going on and over 200 seminars in 5 days and a ton of outdoor activities for the kids and for families. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it is actually an event. I know that, the first show in Long Beach is kind of the unofficial beginning of the saltwater fishing season in California. And then, of course, it's also, the starting now was the opening of the Sierras. So it's an exciting time of the year. It's kind of the launch of it. And the thing that we noticed, because there's such a big turnout, it looks like some people are starting to get back into it, Bart, and getting back outside and maybe taking some trips that they didn't think they could afford 5 or 6 years ago. And it's exciting to see that we're kind of getting back to the way things used to be.
Yeah, I think it's getting like that. And I think a lot of people who were lapsed anglers, you know, out here in California in saltwater, we've had the problem for the MLPAs, and we've had crappy fishing, actually. It hasn't worked very well. You know, the freshwater fishing has been good, but now that kind of turned around, and I think a lot of lapsed anglers came back. A lot of new anglers got involved this year. I think it's going to be great, and, like, you know, we're going to keep on going right through after the Del Mar show, up into the opening of the Sierras, and the saltwater season is going to keep going on, and fishing should be very strong in California this year.
There you go.
We're happy to be a part of that.
Well, why don't you give us, before you take off, give us a little bit more information, where, when, how to get there, and what you need to go to the website and get tickets, or just give us some particulars on people that want to show up.
Well, you can go to the website to get tickets, but really, you just come on down to the Del Mar Fairgrounds, and that's the March 26th to the 29th. We're open Thursday and Friday at noon. We close at 8. On Saturday, we open at 10 and close at 8. On Sunday, we open at 10 and close at 6. And there's a lot of stuff going on. We've got stuff here that we did not have in Long Beach. The San Diego County Ford dealers have brought us the Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Show. Hmm. And we've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got, you know, the Ultimate Air Dogs. We got the World's Greatest Knife Thrower. We got more stuff than... More stuff than you could
well, let's. What I would suggest, if you're doing a spring break vacation to Southern California, forget Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm and all that stuff. You can have a lot more fun at the Hall Show.
Well, I think you can. And as a matter of fact, it's cheaper too. Del Mar was something that you could do easily, but, you know, it's kind of almost getting too big to do easily.
Yeah, well, you can't do it in a couple hours. So, but you spend at least a full day there, if not two. But Bart, I'm sure you're getting busy for that, so we'll let you get back to work. And we appreciate you coming on. And it really is a family celebration. And I'm serious about it. If you're going to be in the area, make sure that you stop by and check that out. Besides that, it's a lot cheaper than all the other amusement parks, and it's a real family event.
Well, thanks. We think so. We're looking forward to it.
Okay. Thanks, Bart.
Thank you, Bart.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Take care.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Right. Okay. Clay and Mark, we got probably about 3 or 4 minutes left in this segment. I'm not even sure where we left off. I think that we were still on the we've gone from the advantages or disadvantages of some of the more modern lines, so the fluorocarbon, and then of course the micro braid. Now, what is the proper name? Is it super braid, micro braid, or what is the general term that you use?
Well, it all depends on the manufacturer spin on it. We call them super lines just as a general category. Mm-hmm. And maybe braided super line is a good way to put it. We actually, our fire line, which is a very popular line across the country, is a fused braid. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a patent that we've had for many years. And, we actually take a braided line and fuse the fibers together, make it act a little bit more like a mono.
Okay, and what is that? What do you call that?
It's Fireline, Berkeley Fireline.
Okay, because you sent me some last week, last year, and I took some down to La Paz for the Grizz, and he spooled all of his reels with it. And I'm trying to remember the name of it.
We have another braid that we designed for saltwater fishing, particularly for the offshore, called ProSpec braid, and that's probably what Grizz had.
Because it looks more like a mono than a braid.
It feels that way because of its 8-carrier construction and everything. Yes.
Oh, it's incredible stuff. And, you know, if you're, again, when we talk, I know what we was going to say. We're talking about the less expensive, more expensive line and when it actually breaks. But when it comes down to it, you know, if you go big game fishing and you spend $2,000 and you try and save $10 on your fishing line, probably not too smart.
No. No, and that's one of the things that I was talking to a guy just the other day, one of our salesmen, and he was remarking, talking to a guy, and he had a $50,000 bass boat. Yeah. He was getting ready to go to El Salto and blah, 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 right? And asked him the last time he changed his line. He said 2 years ago.
Oh, you know, that's a good point. if you don't mind, I was going to just ask that same question about how often do you change it, and On some of the super braids, are you supposed to wash them off over a period of time or dry them out? But how often should you change it, and can you flip it end for end instead of replacing it?
Well, the general rule, and there's no rule. I mean, there's a guideline that we say is that, you know, you should change your line at least once a year because you just don't know what kind of nicks and little knots you might have put in the line or something like that. I mean, if you do get a wind knot or something in your line, you know, you get a big fish on the line, that's going to be its weak point. You just don't know. So you at least need to spool on a braided line, a super line, spool some of it off. And then obviously you get to a point where you need to re-spool because you don't have enough line because it can get frayed and so forth at the end. We also say anytime you are going to go on a special trip or you're a tournament fisherman, it is the cheapest insurance you have, to the point you were raising before, is all this money that you spend entering a tournament on all your gear. You know, what's $10 or $15 more dollars for some fresh line on your reels?
Mark,
exactly.
I was just going to ask you, Mark, how often, what do you do for your line? How often do you change it, and what do you normally use?
I would say I change my line, each rod and reel, at least six times a year.
Well, you fish a little more than most
people
though.
Like,
yeah.
I do fish more than you know, the average guy. But so at least six times for every one. My braided lines, I usually leave them on there longer, and I'll just like Clay was saying, I'll just kind of snip off a little bit until it gets low, and then I'll swap it out. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the different lines I use. If I'm throwing a chatterbait, crankbait, spinnerbait, something underwater, like a glide bait, I'll use fluorocarbon for all of those. If I'm throwing something on top, I'll use monofilament, not so much for the stretch, but for the fact that it floats. Some of the top water baits, like a frog and if I'm fishing for really big fish, I know there's, 8 and 10 pounders biting, I'll probably switch up to braid where I have I have the advantage, mm-hmm. gets the fish get down on the stuff. Mm-hmm. Like drop shotting and mm-hmm. Shaky heads and things like that, then I'll throw braid with a fluorocarbon leader.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm just, this is kind of a question, is different types of fishing. Now, bass fishing, it's kind of an immediate reaction. Because the bass, they'll take it in, and if it's not what they thought it was, they spit it out immediately. So you have just a fraction of a second to set that hook. Now, if you're bait fishing or, a lot of times big game fishing or something, you let them take it and run with it. And you never really set the hook with a circle hook. But when you're bass fishing, to get that immediate, quick, hard response, I would think that the braided line would make a big difference.
Yeah, it can. I mean, it's exceptional when you can feel actually what's going on. I mean, so many times a fish bite, you can't feel it. But the braid will give you that little extra advantage where you can kind of feel everything that's going on. I mean, not only with the fish biting, but you can feel the cover down there. If a lot of times bass will be in the rocks. And using braided line, you can tell if you're in the weeds or on mm-hmm. a silty bottom, or you get into the rocks, and you can get a better feel for what's actually down in the bottom, so you can kind of stay in that zone where the fish are longer.
Yeah, it's almost like having another set of eyes down there or something. It really does make a huge difference, the braided line and fluorocarbon, and discerning all those things that Mark was talking about.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. But and then, of course, they also will braided line help cut through grass and kelp and things, Mark or Clay?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, well,
go ahead, Mark.
Especially like we do a lot of frog fishing here at Clear Lake and on the Delta. And, we'll throw it way back in the weeds and the tulies. And, you get a big fish on, and if you can't rip through those tulies and those mm-hmm. weeds, then you're pretty much going to lose
right.
that fish.
Hey, so, guys, what? I'm just looking at them. Well, actually, Mark just told me that it's time to get out of here, at least for this release for this segment. But real quickly, again, Mark, it is Bass Mag MattMag.com. Real simple. Real simple. And
MattMag.com. Go there. Check us out. Okay. Sign up for the magazine.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you guys hanging around. And you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. You can listen to us as many times as you want by going to fishtalkradio.com. And we'll see if we can put some contests and give some of the stuff away to you guys. Appreciate that. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.